Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of your midlife. Jonathan, thanks for being here today.
Absolutely.
And I know you're virtual and you're far away. I'll let you tell people where you are. But the reason I wanted to have you on the podcast today is I have gone on your website. I've read a lot of passages and things that you've written. And actually, there's so much that you could talk about. But we kind of had to pick one or two things. So what I felt like what might be great, and we had a discussion about this, is just a little bit of reflection on midlife and the shifts and how to optimize that. But before you get started on that, can you tell people a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So yes, I'm here virtually. At the moment, I am in Limassol, Cyprus. One of the things I do is partner dancing, and in particular, Brazilian Zouk. And I have a dance partner who lives here. So we started the partnership earlier this year, and I try to be here when I can to keep doing that. As far as my background, I had been in academia for a little over 20 years. My PhD is in cultural anthropology, and I was a tenured university professor. And then in 2019, while on a research trip in Brazil, realized that wasn't the route for me anymore. And so now I'm a holistic life coach.
That's great. It's kind of your pivot, a male pivot. We always talk about the women's pivots. I love that.
Yeah, it was definitely a pivot for sure.
Yeah. So what we talked a little bit about what I think that we can discuss, but I'm going to open it up and let you just start. Because I love the things that you told me in conversation about our life of doing and that transition.
Yeah, then let me actually take you back to my pivot period, if you will, which was in the earlier part of 2019. I was on a research leave from the university. I was in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And it was February of 2019 when I had a phone conversation with a friend of mine back in the States. And I've heard it since, but at the time, it was the first time anyone pointed out to me that we're human beings, not human doings. And that sort of really landed with me as, wait a minute, you know, I'm here doing research and not just having the experience. And then the next month in March, I was in São Paulo training with one of the dance teachers I respect the most in the world. And every lesson is actually a life lesson. And we got into a conversation about, you know, different approaches to dancing. Is it about just being active or being present? And I really thought I was on team being, if you will, at that point, and realized that while I was staying there with friends who let me use a small back bedroom, it was smaller than the closet in my master suite back home. But I felt more at home in Brazil. And I realized it had to do with the quality of relationships and that the people who I was friends with there knew me and loved me the person, not just the external accomplishments and accolades, and decided I was going to pivot away from academia into what became life coaching. Then jump forward to October, November of 2019. I don't know if this came up in our previous conversation. I actually had a very severe spinal injury and nerve damage at L3 on my right side. For over 5 weeks, I couldn't even roll over on my own. And that really put that existential challenge in front of me of I literally can't do the things I used to do. I don't know at the moment if I'm ever going to again. Am I the same Jonathan? Do I have the same value as Jonathan? Do I have the same value as a person? and really forced me to start looking at those things and making decisions about the life I wanted to live.
Wow. Well, I think that a lot of people will probably resonate with that at the moment in our age group, right? Because I think a lot of us stop doing because we don't have those same roles. We're not have those same tasks that we did, especially people that leave their jobs and their kids have left, you know, whether male or female. And I think what I'm hearing you say, and I'd like you to talk a little more about it, is even like for myself over the last 10 years, I do realize that it's not about what I'm doing, but what's left after I've quit doing it. And that kind of reflection of who I am. Can you talk a little bit about the people that you coach, how they come to you, and how you help them make that transition of letting go of doing?
Sure. So I think there's a couple of different dynamics there. One of them, of course, is that we have one autonomic nervous system, and it evolved for survival scenarios out in the wild, you know, in our historic past. And yet, what are the things that trigger it now? Well, you know, traffic, driving in the rain, you know, the boss yells at me, the kids don't listen to me, a colleague doesn't turn in their share of a project, whatever it is. And it's triggering that real life or death stress response in our bodies. And so when we're attached to what we do, so when people, you know, introduce themselves, how often is it, I'm a this, as if that's their identity, not I work at, my job is, you know, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant, I'm a filmmaker, whatever it is. And we're so much more than that. And so when we're attached to the doing, I think it just gives this huge on-ramp for all of these, what, you know, anatomically come across as life-threatening stressors, when in point of fact, they're not what matter the most. So as far as coaching, obviously it's a much bigger, you know, game because we're trying to look at the whole person and what actually is going to give them their most meaningful and fulfilling life. But I think the primary shift, and if I had to distill it down to one thing, is instead of focusing on what someone's doing and even on why they're doing it, how do they want to be? So whether it's with family, in a work setting, in a social setting, how do I want to show up? And if we're in touch with how we want to be present, it's very hard to then look back on life and say, I wish I had done it differently.
I think one of the things that I struggle with in terms of who I am and just being, is we don't exist in a vacuum. There's a bigger society around us. There's a huge planet that we're part of, which is part of an enormous solar system and an unfathomable universe. And I don't know how one assesses who they are without reference to all that. And so like when you get very internal and you separate from what you do and the identity that you put on yourself as, you know, an employee or a professional or a parent, how do you then figure out who you are in the context of the universe? Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that's a fantastic question. And especially coming from the background I have as a cultural anthropologist, like we're embedded in systems of meaning and identity. And so I don't think it's about, you know, trying to divorce ourselves from those things or pretend those things aren't there. But at the same time, it's recognizing that, you know, when we take those on, we're basically attaching to ideas of the way things should be. And there's these external definitions. And once upon a time, evolutionarily, you know, the things that caused us stress were life-threatening. And, you know, big bear, saber-toothed tiger. Whereas now we have the same stress response. We don't have a different stress response for social cues. And so things like, you know, too much traffic, kids, you know, not listening, boss not getting credit, colleague, you know, not turning in their share are triggering all these things. And so when we're attached to these definitions, when we internalize them and identify with them, as opposed to they're things I do, they're roles that I do occupy, But then it gives us the chance to be deliberate and to say which ones matter to me. And so it's not they don't matter. It's, okay, given, you know, real life circumstances. So how much sleep have I had? How much time do I have in the day? How many other, you know, commitments do I have? How do I want to show up in this time, this place, this interaction with these people? So it's not about saying I'm not part of bigger things, but it's saying what's actually how I want to be, and not how have I internalized or do I take for granted I'm supposed to be.
In talking about our where we are right now in our life and in respect to the greater universe and what you just talked about, we do all have these roles. Why is it now that we actually are thinking about it? Like, I did not think about it at 20. I did not think about it at 30. And maybe it was because I was so embedded in those roles and the chasing life and almost like climbing. And I feel now I'm trying to root deeper. But what brought me here at this point?
Yeah. So everyone's journey is their own. It's part of why my business is Steps Along the Way, because I think it's both the steps we've taken that get us here, mm-hmm. but what gives us our most meaningful and fulfilling lives is being deliberate about the steps we take next. And I think you're absolutely right that so often, you know, we grow up and whether it's from family or, you know, schoolmates or media or what have you, we just sort of take for granted, this is the way the world is. This is the way things are. Maybe we think it's terrible and we don't think it should be, but we still think that's the way it is. Maybe it suits us if we're lucky and we're like, oh, okay, this isn't bad. But it's only at a certain point when you're faced with, wait a minute, you know, maybe the things that I thought were going to be meaningful and fulfilling, you know, aren't what actually feels that way. Because especially since probably, say, the 80s, you know, when they've done studies about up until then, you know, students who went off to college, which granted is a minority of the population, but if you ask them what they wanted out of life, you know, going forward, it was, you know, to have a fulfilling life. Starting around then, people started to say to be successful. But who defines what success is? It's not usually an internal measure. Mm-hmm. And so we're chasing these things that, you know, whether it's the job, the promotion, the partner, the lifestyle, those aren't the things that are based on our own internal values, our own internal strengths and aptitudes, and, you know, what really makes the world worth living. And so it's when we sort of go, oh, wait a minute, I'm where I thought I was supposed to be, or I'm getting close, and it doesn't feel the way I thought it would, then it's like, oh, what's going on? What do I actually want?
And how do you get to the point where you can shut off the noise that the world is putting on you, the expectations that you're trying to live up to, and get a sense of your own internal self without, like, you know, moving to an ashram somewhere or totally divorcing yourself from the world? How do you, in your present life, like a woman in her 50s, in her present life, how does she shut off the noise and then focus in on herself to self-identify?
Yeah. So I think one of the really important things is to recognize it's not just a switch. It's not like, you know, you flip it and now it's all shut off. It's real life. We are faced with things. We contend with things all the time. The key is to try and find what are small practices that allow us to get in touch amidst the hustle and bustle until it becomes more of a pattern. So one of the things that I think is really important is different types of somatic practices. And I'm not talking about, you know, things where you have to take long training. I'm talking about very little things like, you know, if I just sit here for 60 seconds and just notice what I'm hearing. I'm not trying to listen to anything. I'm just noticing that one sense. And is it the traffic on the street outside? Is it the hum of the air circulating? Is it someone, you know, I don't know, tripping over something outside? And just notice. at a different time, it could be sight. And if I just look around the room or look out the door at, you know, a tree, you know, it's not just a tree. Like, look at, you know, some of the leaves, and just when you're, as long as it's, you know, sort of engaging, look. And the minute it isn't, let your eyes wander off. If it's touch, you know, it could be as simple as feeling the little ridges on your fingertips. It could be running your hands along your desk surface and just noticing any texture. It can be if you're washing the dishes, you know, the difference between the temperature and the slipperiness of water versus soap versus silverware versus plate. And that's so important because our senses are only here and now. They're not in the past. They're not in the future. And so anything that's a small somatic practice allows us to just be present and start to notice what's really going on for us.
Linger in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that's so important is the nerves that go from the brain down to the body go much faster, the signals, than the nerves that go from the body back up to the brain. The myelination is different. And so we need that moment of pause to really feel what's going on for me, what actually feels right for me, how am I actually doing? Because the thoughts go faster.
You know, what's interesting about what you just said is that I, years ago, at another point, much earlier in my life when I went through a big life transition, I decided to take acting classes just for something fun to do. And I thought they were going to teach us, like in this class, how to actually act. But instead, it was all about sensory exploration. And we did all these exercises, like we would be blindfolded and have to write down. I mean, you can't see, so you're just kind of scribbling everything you hear in like a 3 minutes thing where you're not looking, you're just writing what you hear, and also tasting things blind so that you're focusing on the taste, which I thought was really odd from an acting perspective. But apparently the idea was to open up your awareness, because then you can set aside yourself and inhabit a new role, which is very parallel to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that makes sense, because the whole point is, if you're just showing up as yourself, you're not acting. And
right.
So it's, what are the other possibilities here?
Right.
You know, when you have clients, is that how you start with them, for them to be able to kind of figure out what's left and what they want to be? Is these small steps and then you progress, or do they find from doing that, is there like this internal and not a light bulb moment, but do they kind of know how to take that path on their own, or do they tend to need a little nurturing or guidance?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing there, you know, with any good type of coaching, it's individual. Everyone shows up as themselves. There is no one size fits all approach. I would say anyone in life who tells you they have the answer is a scary human being. Run. Lots of people have good answers and things that work for them and share. What I have found is really that being framework. And so I use that as an acronym in my coaching, but I'm not rooted to it. It's not you have to follow these steps. It's a framework. And if it serves someone. So B is begin where you are. I think all too often when we realize we want something different, we start running or chasing or moving in a direction without taking stock. And if you think about how the GPS in your phone or your car works, it needs a signal to know where it is before it can navigate. And I think that's true of us in life as well. So begin where you are, explore where you want to go. And this is the part where it's, you know, you don't necessarily want that promotion if it's taking away the time you have to spend with loved ones. And, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with a promotion. If it serves you, great, go for it. And we can support that in coaching. But all too often, it's because we think that's what we're supposed to do. So explore what you really want. And we do a lot of work around values. And I is for identify your options. Because between point A and point B, there's so many ways to go. So using that travel analogy, do you want the scenic route? Do you want the direct route? Do you want to stop and see, I don't know, the world's largest ball of twine? Do you want someplace where you can visit friends and family along the way? Like, what's the right way for you to go? And one of the keys that I tend to use with clients there is really looking at, in their life up till now, what are sort of 3 to 5 pivot points which really turned out well for them? And what are 3 or 5 that they really wish had happened differently? And figure out how did they make the decisions in each? So when did they get their best results? And let's apply that now.
That's a great thought. You know, I read something one time and it said, a river flows because it is, not because it tries. And it makes me think of, like, even in moments now, I try to be quiet. And we've talked on the podcast about intuition and gut feelings and just allowing, when you were talking about the sensory and just focusing on one thing, I would think that that is where it stimulates, kind of, it stimulates your brain just to think at that time. But then in the silence, you can follow your gut feelings and kind of feel or understand what being might be to you. How do you feel about that? And I use that river analogy just because I had read it before. But then when if I were to think about it anymore, and it says, because it doesn't try, I do think there's an intentional piece as well that we have to do to kind of find our being.
Yeah, so I love the analogy, and I agree with your caveat around it. So the fact is, change is going to happen because life is dynamic. It isn't static. Given that it's going to change, either you just sort of stay rooted, in which case it batters up against you, you let go and just get swept along, or you go, okay, it's changing, it's moving, now I choose how I navigate that. And so it's both.
For listeners, individuals that are, the roles are falling aside because their kids are now young adults, they're living their lives. Of course, they still have their relationship with a spouse if they're married and so forth. And I know the small steps that you talked about. Is there anything else people that are, because there is a depression and a loneliness that individuals go through when they don't have those identifying factors and actually that doing, like, I mean, it's gone. Anything else besides the small steps to help them shift that mindset of, like, it's not all lost, but there's a lot to be gained?
The short answer is yes. The more complicated answer is there's so many yeses because what's right for any one person is different.
Yeah.
And I think that for me, a lot of it comes back to the how do I want to be? And the most challenging version is when life is just very overwhelming. And whether it's overwhelming because don't know where to go, whether it's overwhelming because of competing pressures, whether it's overwhelming because of loss, you know, it's very hard to get in touch with how do I want to be right now? And so the version that I have a name for it now. I didn't when it first occurred to me. I call future casting. And it occurred to me in 2020, I was recovering from that spinal injury. And the end of what till that point in time had been the most, you know, significant, meaningful romantic relationship in my life came to an end. And I still wasn't back to walking. And I remember we were long distance at the time. And I remember, you know, I had these tears streaming down my face, sitting in this chair and realizing I wasn't going to have this moment to do over. And what was it that was, looking back on this 5 years from now, what was I going to have wanted to have said? How was I going to have wanted to show up? Because we've all faced it, you know, 2 minutes later, 2 weeks later, you know, 2 months later, crap, I wish I had said or done something differently. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, I still don't know where it came from, but I was able to say, you know, like, yeah, I want to thank you for, you know, everything that we've shared and this relationship, and most of all, to thank you for being you. And I was devastated, but to this day, I walk away from that with so much just comfort. And so when someone's really stuck, it's, you know yourself, even when you don't realize you do. So when in the moment it's too much, it's, wait a minute, 5 years from now, what am I going to have wanted to have said? How am I going to have wanted to show up?
When you've worked with someone and they've sort of done this inner work, What do you see? How would you describe the difference that you see as the coach working with them? What kind of change do you, like, can you put a word to it or an adjective? Or?
Sure. If I can, let me just finish out very briefly that being acronym, because I give you the B,
oh,
the
yes.
I. Yeah. So, because I think it's important to then answer your question.
Okay.
So the N is for now start, because all too often we're so busy making plans and trying to get it right that it's that, you know, paralysis by analysis. We don't actually start. So we work on supporting that. And the G is the part that starts to answer your question. It's get your best life. Not in the sense of it's an end point or it's achieved and over, but you could also look at it as gratitude. It's taking the time to consolidate, to realize the shift you've made and the growth and development since you started sort of looking at these things, working on these things. And the other part of the G, and it's the outcome I see, is people are much more grounded. Mm. They're calmer. They talk not as quickly. When they're relating what's going on in their life, they're a little more introspective. They pause. They're deliberate. And whatever is how they're showing up is what's true to them. They're living, connecting, communicating with people from a place of real authenticity. And that's what actually lets me know that we found and, you know, I've been able to support them and really internalizing what gives them a meaningful and fulfilling way of going about being in the world.
Okay, I love the way you break down being. Mm-hmm. Can you say those just specific word for each of them for listeners?
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure. B is begin where you are. E is explore where you want to go. I is identify your options. N is now start. And G is get your best.
I like that.
And the key with the get your best is it's a process you now know and have and can always use for future pivots or steps in your life.
Jonathan, thank you for being here. Is there anything else, any nuggets to leave for listeners? Though I think that that's a great one that you just did. But if you have anything else that you want to say, please feel free to do that.
Yeah, I think the main thing is that, and I got it from the appendix of a book. I don't even remember what book. I'm not trying to take credit for it, but flexible is feasible. It's not about getting attached to any one way of doing things or one way forward. It's understanding what's the direction you want to go. And whatever things help move you in that way, that's great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
My website is stepsalongtheway.global. Again, that should be no surprise with my nomadic lifestyle. Okay. And I'm happy to work with people from anywhere in the world. So the website is stepsalongtheway.global. And anyone who just wants to have a quick 30-minute chat, just get on my calendar at stepstochat.com. Not a sales call, not a pitch, just a chance to figure out if I can support you in any way and figuring out what your next step that's going to give you a better life could be.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. So nice meeting you.
Likewise. Thank you very much for having me on.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.